Howdy. Good to see you. Wow, the side's pretty full and that middle is just, nobody's in the middle. You use deodorant? Good. Good to know. Welcome. Glad you're here at Lakeview this morning for worship. Let me just remind you of a few announcements. Wednesday night, we are having our usual soul food cafe. One of our favorite dishes will be served, meatloaf. So come out and join us Wednesday night. Kay and or Hannah are going to come up and share a little bit about Vacation Bible School.
Okay, good morning. In your thank you bulletin, you see a little slip of paper, and we're asking for volunteers who like to craft, who like to design things, and who can follow directions well. Doesn't matter if you can do any of those, just one of them. We're having decoration days the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th, and we need volunteers. So if you'll just let us know if you can come on one of those days. So if you'll circle it, put it in the offering plate, or you could give it to my mom, or you could give it to Hannah's mom, and they can get it to us. So thank you. And if you have grandkids that you haven't signed up yet, we'd love to have your grandkids here too. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to say anything about Upward Soccer? Okay, the games start in earnest this week, right? Okay, any support you can be to Upward Soccer, please contact Crystal. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. We have two young people that will be joining our church. It's going to be a great service. Hope you'll be here to be a part of that and to encourage them as they start with their membership here. Okay, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We're glad to be here today. Thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day outside. Help us to come today with open minds and open hearts to receive whatever it is that you might want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing if you would. Let's join together in saying what we believe by using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Good music today. Over these next 2 months, we are inviting different people in our congregation who would like to share about Lakeview's impact on their life to come up and share. So Sharon, come on up if you would. This morning, Sharon Hamilton is going to come and share with us.
And Billy, I'll try not to fall while I'm up here, okay? That would be very good. Good morning. Good morning. I'm bad about this as well. My name is Sharon Hamilton, and what I want to do is just share with you some memories that are near and dear to me of Lakeview. I can be stubborn sometimes. I know a lot of you just don't believe that, but I can be very stubborn. Like the time that I wrestled with God, and I truly wrestled with God because I had fallen away from the church. I quit attending. And God kept putting a picture of Lakeview in my head over and over and over again. So the way I wrestled is I found all kind of excuses not to go to church. One day I drove, got as far as dressed, drove into the driveway, saw that I was 15 minutes late, and I said, "Aw, shucks." And I went home. Can you believe that? But God continued to put this view of Lakeview in my head. I had been here one time right after the church opened for a funeral with a coworker, for my husband's coworker. But finally one day I said, "Okay, God, I'll go. Just get out of my head, please." So I went, took one step through the foyer, and I had this amazing feeling that came over me. And that feeling said, "You're home, daughter. You're home." And I have felt that. This morning was incredible, was it not? The Holy Spirit was rocking right along with you, Nancy. But if sit back for a minute, take a deep breath, and let's go down memory lane, okay? Today, for me, will be a memory, I guarantee you, because that music touched me very deeply. Okay, my first visit, and you may or may not know some of these characters that I'm going to talk about, but my very first visit on my first day, first person that greeted me was Faye Gouge. Okay, you all who remember Faye will know that Faye would see a new person, she would track them down, she'd sit by them at church, and that was one of Faye's main ministries. She went to be with the Lord a few years ago, but her two big passions were the Emmaus walks and new visitors. So she, on my first Sunday, I could see this woman coming toward me, and she talked to me, found out more about myself than I think I knew about myself in that few minutes. But she sat beside me, and that's what she did with every new visitor, to the point that at one point, Pastor Michael said, "Faye, you might want to back off just a little bit. You're scaring the new visitors." But that was Faye. I'll never forget Faye. My second memory sits in this room right now, and that's Rip Coker. Sitting in his Sunday school class, you would leave feeling like you should hear pomp and circumstance for getting your bachelor's degree in biblical history. Rip has had this amazing ability for me to open my eyes to more than just the word on the page, but look deeper. He always says, "Let the Bible say what it says, and look deeper. Let's go deeper." It's like his Bible must have a page that looks like mine, and you read that, and then it's got this little secret compartment. You can peel it up and find out more, and then another secret compartment, and you find out more just because you understand the words, you understand the people. And it has brought the Bible to me in vivid, vivid multicolor. Thank you, Rip, for doing that. I haven't been coming recently, but I think I have some legitimate reasons, perhaps, for doing that. Another treasured memory. Now, today they were awesome, absolutely awesome. The memory I have is Benji Lloyd. Benji was our former keyboardist. And Benji could, you could be sitting there listening to some deep bass tones. He didn't have one keyboard, he had two. And they sat at right angles to each other. And you'd be listening, and you would hear these deep, deep bass sounds. And then all of a sudden, you'd hear these tinkling bells that sounded like angel wings or chapel bells somewhere. He had an amazing ability to make that instrument be the sermon. He was really, really excellent at it. And I especially loved it when he would leave the keyboard and do this little dance, twirl across the stage to the grand piano and hammer out some hymns. And we could really rock with those hymns. Am I right? Yeah. Okay, another memory. And those of you who are going to be confirmed, congratulations. We're happy for you, very, very much so. But it reminded me of the first time I had ever seen a live baptism in the lake. And it was young people. It was the youth that just got through confirmation. And they said, "No, we want to be baptized in the lake." And I think Pastor Michael at the time probably was thinking, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. And I remember he and Mitchell Morris standing in the lake shivering because it was cold that morning. And those, I think it was two young people at that particular time that were baptized that morning. It touched me greatly, and I was thankful that I had the opportunity to see that. That's a memory for me. Another memory is I always liked to walk through the quilt room and check on the progress of the quilts. My mother was a devout quilter, loved quilting. She tried to get me to do it, but I was not as adept as she. So I compensated by taking her to quilt shows and quilt seminars, and that kind of made her a little bit happy about that. But I love quilts, and I'm proud to say I have two quilts that some of the ladies in this room diligently worked on. But one of the quilt that I think of most that has the biggest memory for me was after John Ivanko, Tracy's husband, died pretty unexpectedly. And, of course, Tracy was brokenhearted, but she brought in a stack of T-shirts, of John's favorite T-shirts, and the ladies cut T-shirts up, sewed them together, bound them, quilted them, and gave it to Tracy. Oh, and it was backed with Pittsburgh Steelers fabric because that was his absolute love. So Tracy can sit and take John's T-shirts and wrap those T-shirts around her. So these ladies gave a tremendous memory to Tracy and to us too. But let me ask you young folks, do you know who Elvis is? Have you ever heard of Elvis? Hound dog? You ain't nothing but a hound dog? Okay, well, you're missing out. But did you all know that Elvis actually came and presented a concert here at Lakeview? Did you know that? How many knew that? Just a few. Well, it was 4th of July, and we were having our big picnic. And all of a sudden, this police car came down, lights flashing. I think he even had the sound on. And behind him is this long stretch limo, and it pulls right in the driveway and came up to the podium, not to the podium, to our stage. And out came Elvis. And these little girls running behind him and screaming and just having the best time. And he got up on stage and he knocked out all of Elvis's best hits, right? It was quite a day, wasn't it? Some people said that Elvis sort of resembled Benji. I'll just say it. Let's see what else. You know I could go on all day, don't you? But I promise I'm almost done. Here's a funny one. And maybe you guys maybe need to hear this and take this to heart. One year we had a watermelon eating contest, and that was really pretty messy. So the next year they decided to do a moon pie eating contest instead. So they had the table all set with these stacks of moon pies. And the one that I remember was Pastor Michael's youngest child, Jude. And he was probably about the age of you guys. And so Jude was going to win this contest. The problem was Jude had never tasted a moon pie before. And so poor kid, he took a big bite and started to chew, and you could just see his mouth begin to gyrate in all kind of different directions, and I think he finally swallowed what was in his mouth and left the table. So be sure you know what you're getting into and what it tastes like before you get in a contest like that. But my memories relate back to a person, and without people, memories are meaningless, aren't they? And I think of all the people that Jesus and God have put into my life through what I read in His Word, and I realize that my memories really revolve around people. We're the body of Christ, we're His hands and feet, and we need to be sure that we are making memories and leaving legacies that somebody will think about later on and be touched by it. Thank you for letting me share.
Good job. Thank you. If anyone wants to share, just get with me. We'll talk about a time when you can do that over these next 2 months. Are there any prayer concerns that you have before we pray? I'm sorry? Emily Norwood. Of course, we're praying for Tom Pilkerton, who's undergoing chemo. Dale? Yes, Dale Bond. Her mother died. Chris? Wonderful, wonderful. He walked where? Yeah? Oh, that's so good. Some of y'all know that Sharon's husband's in the VA, what? VA home in Huntsville. Yeah. Who? Rick. Anybody else? Ken Dixon. Silas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here today. Thankful for your Holy Spirit who's here with us. Thank you for Sharon's words of witness and all who've been attending Lakeview for any length of time have a story that they can tell. Hear our prayers for these people we've mentioned, Emily, Dale, Chris. Ongoing prayers and praise for Ron, the family of Rich. We pray for Ken. We pray for Silas. And all the unspoken concerns that we did not mention, we hold them up to you as well. We pray for ourselves, Father, the challenges that we face, the answers that we need, and also the help. You know, and you always come through. So help us to be open to the ways that you might not only speak to us, but guide us in the days ahead. All of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. We remember the prayer he taught his disciples when he said, please join me, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to receive our morning offering. We're going to also excuse our children to go to children's church. Thank you for your giving that allows us to be in missions and ministry here in our community and in the world.
Faith. What is it? Being sure of our hope. Convinced of what we can't see. By faith, we understand the world was set in order at God's command. By faith, Abel offered God a greater sacrifice than Cain, and for his faith, God commended him as righteous. By faith, Noah trusted God and constructed an ark for the deliverance of his family. By faith, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, believing God would still fulfill his promises. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy sin's fleeting pleasure. By faith, God's chosen nation crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and praised him as it swallowed up the Egyptians. By faith, Rahab the prostitute escaped destruction because she welcomed the spies in peace. Time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, David, and the prophets. By faith, they administered justice, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire. But others were imprisoned, murdered, and wandered in deserts, mountains, and openings in the earth. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So get rid of every weight, of every sin, and run. Run with endurance the race set before us. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the champion and guide of our faith. For promised joy, he endured the cross, thought nothing of its shame, and having risen again, has been handed his deserved glory at the right hand of the throne of God.
Exodus chapter 4 is where I'm reading from this morning. Chapter 3 in Exodus is about the call of Moses, where God appears to Moses in a burning bush. He tells him that he has this great work that he's calling Moses to do. Moses insists to God that God obviously has made a big mistake. And then God starts to show Moses why he's the chosen one to lead the Hebrew people out of captivity. So chapter 4 picks up with that story. I highly recommend that you read chapter 3 because it gives the framework of what we're talking about this morning. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. This is in this ongoing dialogue between Moses and God. Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." What time is it? Anybody have the time? Okay. You know the story about the father and his son who were in the congregation during worship one Sunday morning. And before the service, the son said, "Dad, what does the preacher mean when he does this?" And he said, "Well, he means let's pray." The son said, "Dad, what does it mean when the preacher looks at his wrist?" And his father said, "Not a dad burn thing." Just checking the time. So Moses' history is the stuff of great novels, especially his early history. He lived in a time when the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. When Pharaoh had all of the male infants of the Hebrew children slaughtered because there were so many of them. You remember it was Moses' mother who is really the hero in the whole story, who took great pains to see that her son was set off in the water so that he would be found by the appropriate people, which is what happened. Of all people, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's daughter, is the one that rescues Moses. And so we see from a very early stage in Moses' life, this is a young man, this is a child destined for something. He's a child of providence and destiny. He should have been killed, and yet he's raised in the Pharaoh's home as a young prince. But Moses never lost his kinship with the Hebrew people. He never forgot who he was, thanks to his mother, who also just sort of happened, she's arranged to be the nanny that helps raise him to young adulthood. When he was grown, one day as he walked outside, he saw an Egyptian overseer beating a Hebrew slave. And you remember what Moses did, looking that way and that. He killed him. He killed the Egyptian. And so now, here he is, a 40-year-old man, and he's forced to flee for his own life. And so that's what he does. He leaves Egypt and he settles in the Midian desert. He marries eventually, and he settles down as a shepherd of sheep for the next 40 years of his life. These are years that we don't know much about. They're called the quiet years. This is where God encountered Moses around age 80. He lives to be 120, we're told, when he died. So 2/3 of his life has passed when God calls him to do this great work. He appears to him in the burning bush. He calls Moses by name. He gives him this commission. I'm calling you. You're the chosen one to lead my people out of Egypt. God has a big job for Moses, and Moses is the chosen one. And of course, Moses' reaction is priceless. It's so human. He quickly lists all the reasons why God has obviously made a mistake, and he's not the right person to do this. Well, he's wanted for murder in Egypt. How could he even go back there? Why would Pharaoh listen to him? Why would the Hebrew people listen to him? I'm not an eloquent speaker. And on and on and on it goes. And in the midst of all of this, God asked Moses one of the great questions in the Bible. To this shepherd Moses, who's standing there with his staff in his hand, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? He was holding the rod that he used with his sheep. And although he did not think so, Moses really had some unique qualifications for the task that God was giving him. What do we know about Moses' background that would make him the person to do what God was calling him to do? Well, number one, he'd been living among the Bedouins for 40 years. He'd been caring for the sheep entrusted to him. So he knew the geography of that land, some of which he would be leading the Hebrew people over. He had spent 40 years of his life out there in the open air, in the desert. He knew the landscape. Number two, Moses was trained to lead sheep. And so he had been prepared to deal with the perversity of the human heart. I don't know much about sheep, but according to who you read about them, they can be obstinate and tough to deal with sometimes. just like God's people, just like us, right? We can be stubborn. We can be difficult to lead. We get lost. We get frightened. We always have a better idea than our leaders. Third, having been raised in Pharaoh's home, Moses also understood the politics of Egypt. He knew how things got done, who the important people were. He understood the culture. He spoke the language. But perhaps most importantly, at this stage in his life, Moses understood who he was. What was he? He was a mere mortal man. And if anything good came out of his life, it would be God that would have to do it. Because up until this stage in his life, he's failed pretty miserably. Killed a man. Had to leave his home country. Had been tending sheep for 40 years. You know, Moses had just the background that he needed for God to use him in this job he was giving him. Of course, all of this, maybe none of this, was obvious at the burning bush. But God knew what he was doing when he called Moses. What about God's call to you and me? Now, let me know if God appears to you in a burning bush. That usually doesn't happen, right, today? And oftentimes, God's call to us is not to do something like lead God's people out of a foreign country into freedom. I mean, that's about as big as it gets. But God's call still comes to us. Think about the way God speaks to us today. In a worship service. In a book that we're reading. Through a minister's sermon, live or online. Through a Sunday school lesson. Through a thought that may plant itself in our mind. Do you know that the guy that came up with and developed anesthesia, Dr. Crawford Long in Atlanta many, many years ago, was sitting in church one Sunday when the minister read the scripture that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. And being a physician, he started thinking about, wouldn't that be good? When patients are having surgery, instead of being kept wide awake during the surgery like they were back during the Civil War, back during those days, if we could put them to sleep. I'm sure you thought I was going to talk about sleep in church. He had nodded off. No, that wasn't the story. When we hear God calling, we usually come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't do it, just like God, just like Moses did. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I don't have the financial resources to start helping people in God's name. I'd have to win the lottery, for heaven's sake. I don't have any talent. I don't have the time. And the list is so long. So long that we can come up with. Sometimes are excuses. Sometimes they are heartfelt beliefs. We really believe it, that we don't have the talent or the skill. But the question that God asked Moses was designed to help him and us as a byproduct discover that we really do have all the resources that we need to serve God and to get the job done. Because God always will use whatever it is that we have in our hand. Whatever is available. We don't have to look for more credentials or more talent. We can God will begin with what we have, and He'll add more in the process. If we are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you can be sure that we are being called to some ministry. That is the heart of the New Testament. We are saved to serve. Jesus doesn't just come into our life and we spend the rest of our lives waiting until we die and go to heaven and that's all there is to it. No, there is a life to be lived. And the key is to find out what it is that we can do. As servants of God, what do you have in your hand right now? Let me help us all kind of get at that by mentioning six brief things that every one of us have that God can use to serve Him and bless others. First of all, there is our pain. Our pain. Any pain that we have been through gives us credentials with other people in pain. If you've been there, you have authority to speak to someone else in pain. Another thing we all have is our forgiven sins. The sins that we've committed against God, that we've committed against others, that we've committed against ourselves, that have been detrimental to us. When we face them and confess them to God, it can produce, and it should produce within us, a sense of deep humility where we become less judgmental of other people that have fallen. You have empathy with people who are failing in some area. God can and He will use our forgiven sins. He'll also use our mistakes. You know, every dumb thing that we've done should produce wisdom. We ought to learn from it. You know the old saying, when we know better, we do better. That's exactly it. We've learned a better way to live and what works and what doesn't. Those of us who've done enough foolish things and learned from them can become a source of hope and encouragement for other people. And then there are our expertise that we have in certain areas. You know, I don't even have time to delve into this in the New Testament about all the different gifts that are mentioned that God has given to people within His body. You know, we are a body. The body functions best when we all use the gifts that God has given us. Some people have the spiritual gift of music. Some people have the spiritual gift of leadership. Some people have the spiritual gift of teaching. Some have that gift of serving. There's the gift of helps. There's that person that greets you when you come in the front door that Sharon talked about. That is their highest joy, to meet new people. I mean, and somehow in God's economy, it all works together. But only if we put ourselves out there and do it and serve. Whatever gifts we have, is part of what currently is in our hand that God can and will use. And then there are our connections. Each of us have people in our life that love us, that respect us, and that trust us. Maybe not all three, but at least one of those. Love, respect, or trust. These can be family members. These can be co-workers. These can be colleagues, friends, neighbors, fellow members at church. among those are people that we could call on to help us if we got passionate about doing something that would serve God and that would bless other people. They would join us. That network can be a primary asset for ministry. And then finally, we all have our passions, things that we love to do. It's almost like it's not even work. You know what looks like work to somebody else? If we're good at it, if we enjoy it, it can almost feel like play. It just comes second nature. These are just some of the resources that every one of us in this room already have. We already have that. What is it that we can do for the glory of God that will help somebody else? What is that in your hand? God started with a simple stick in Moses' hand and basically said, hey, we can work with this. We can work with this if you're willing. And Moses was. If you'll receive this message, will you say amen? Amen. Jay Griffin is going to come up and share about, keep you informed about what's going on with future plans here at Lakeview, options that you have in terms of finding a future church home. Thanks, Jay.
Yes, sir. Hey, good morning. So I'm sure everyone is certainly thinking about where you're going to be on July 2nd. We are inching ever so closely to June 25th, which will be our final worship service here in Lakeview. And so as we continue toward that path, certainly options out there for everyone to be considering. Certainly there's options to transfer membership, of course. Pastor Audie, I've learned, is going to be pastoring Lester's Chapel, which is in Chelsea, Alabama. And so, Pastor Audie, just first, you know, thank you so much for your leadership and your support. Just been great to get to know you and work with you, and we'll be praying for you and wish you the best in that. So, I'm sure everyone knows there is also a group that is working through the possibility and how we, as a Lakeview congregation, may continue. And what that may look like. And so tomorrow night there is a continued part of that process where we're going to go through a vote. We've been discerning through some different possibilities in terms of future affiliation. And so tomorrow, I believe it's 6:30. Do I have that time correct? Okay, so 6:30 tomorrow night here, we will have a vote. I'll do a brief little message in advance of that. And then we'll close and just continue to pray about that and you know, see if we can navigate through that and what will become of that. So. But anyway, I'll be praying for everyone, and I just wanted to share that. Look forward to seeing anybody that's interested in being a part of that tomorrow night. So thank y'all.
Hope you guys have a great day. Receive these words as the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.